everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a podcast focused on the discipleship aspect of parenting. See how many different ways we can say the same sentence. My name is Matthew Wilbanks, and I'm here with my good friend and golf enthusiast, Tim Rose. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Matt. Matt, how was your driving range golf game this weekend?
Oh, yes. It was quite enjoyable. You remember the time when we vacationed in Florida? And
I do remember that.
Yes, and your wife went to tee a ball on one of the holes and absolutely decimated her driver.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, the ball went about 5 feet and the driver head went about 50.
Yes. Similar thing happened to me this week.
Oh, there we go. Golfing like Mary now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be honest, she has much better form than I do. But I went, I hit a shot and I got a little angry, so I put the club down, and I'm bending over, and I'm putting just a little bit of weight on the club, I'm bending over to pick up a ball, and I just hear it begin to crack, and I was like, "This is it, this is the last hit I can make of this club," and I line up the shot, swing back, poof, and the club head just starts rolling on the ground. And I was like, yep, that was some money down the drain. But the nice thing is, I mean, I bought all of my clubs. I mean, granted, it was like four of them and a bag for like less than $300 at that outlet shop.
Yes.
In Florida. So it's not like I lost money, but it is like, oh gosh. Now, if I want to golf again, I've got to find a driver, and that's so expensive.
So, for clarity, for any of you who are realistically golf enthusiasts, mm-hmm. when Matt says that he bought clubs in a bag, Matt bought the cheapest clubs that could be found mm-hmm. in a Florida resale shop for golf clubs.
Yep.
Now, I say Florida because Florida is very known for having many, many golfers,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they have a lot of lower end materials available. And when we say that Matt bought a bag, the bag was actually not used. It was a new bag.
It was.
I still to this day don't think that's actually meant for golf clubs.
I think
that your golf bag is designed for golf umbrellas.
Probably, but
because it only had like four slots in it.
Nope. It's got two.
Or but two. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's just a little like dividing thing, piece of plastic at the top to where it's just all still in just one bag. Just it's probably 5-6 inches in diameter.
Yeah. I think that is designed to put your golf umbrellas in while you're golfing.
But you know what? When my older brother was there, he's in El Paso this week as he's on the border. Because if you haven't heard before, my older brother is a state trooper here in Texas, and he's at the border this week. He's in El Paso, and El Paso is not a great place for
it's a terrible place.
Yeah, for officers. So be in prayer for him this week, especially. But he saw my back. He's like, dude, I could use that bag when I go to the border, because he doesn't have to bring all of his golf clubs. He could just bring a couple just to practice on when he has some downtime. And I was like, dude, when you have downtime, you need to just like stay in your hotel. And he's like, I mean, I probably will.
Yeah. I wouldn't go outside in El Paso for anything.
Yeah. He normally brings his little tiny Xbox or his Nintendo Switch and just plays games in his hotel when he's not working.
Can't blame him there. Can't blame him there. Just tell him play Mario Golf.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Gosh, what a game. So today's episode is going to be a bit different. this might come as a shock, but I will have almost zero experience in what we're going to talk about today. So Tim's going to be leading it. I'm going to comment when appropriate. But we are going to talk about what it means to have marital intimacy and how we best portray that to our kids in a God-honoring way. Let me go ahead and preface everything. In a God-honoring way. And that's an important thing, because a lot of times we can just sit down and just tell our kids this is what intimacy is. And so this is something we need to try to think through and really consider. How is it that I can talk about intimacy and show intimacy it to my kids so that they understand what it looks like without, having other influences tell them what it is or what it isn't. So, Tim, would you please introduce our topic?
Yeah, for sure. So when we say intimacy here, we're not just me. Actually, I let me back up. We're really not at all meaning sex.
Yes.
There is technically a level with which we'll get to in that, but obviously there's no advocation of having sex in front of your kids. That's disturbing, yes. Weird, and it won't teach them anything that you want them to learn. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about intimacy, we're really talking about romance and understanding relationships. And this begins with our famous Shema. And the understanding in the Shema is that not only do you tell your kids what they should believe, so this is the talk to them about these things day and night, but it's also the idea that you show them what we believe and show them what we do. This is the walking by the way as you go into the shops. You're showing your kids how to live, and we actually need to back up one more step, and that is to back up to Genesis chapter 3. And realize that, excuse me, not Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and realize that the foundational element of all of society is the family.
Mm-hmm.
This is how God designs all of society to work. I was listening to a political podcast, because I'm 1,000 years old now and I listen to those, from a believer's perspective. And he made the point that we begin all versions of politics within the family. The family is where we teach the values, which then create politics at a higher level when we deal with society.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same is true about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids will learn relationships from you. And some of you may already be saying, hold on a minute. I'm divorced. Yes. Your kids learn things from that. Yeah. Matt, you know that better than I.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids learn from whatever's happened. Now, does that mean that we're going to bash on people who are divorced? No, not at all. We have to redeem situations as they are. But your kids will learn not only what good relationships and bad relationships are, but how to do relationships from you and your spouse.
Yep.
So the big picture here is that if you have kids that are, say, my kid's age, 2 years old, already you need to be showing them what a good relationship looks like, what its boundaries are, what its understood boundaries in different places are, in order to eventually have them grow up and have a relationship that you want them to have. Mm-hmm. If you wait until they're a teenager to begin to even have these discussions or show anything, you're already too late. Matt, when we look at our history, this is an aspect in Christendom which has very much changed over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
When you and I grew up, the general sentiment from the church / parents to their kids was, generally speaking, first of all, sex is bad.
Yeah.
And that relationships really, I mean, even if you're in a relationship, you probably ought not look at her. You just need to, talk and then figure it out. And that's it. And although there are elements of that that I recognize why the church thought that way. I recognize why we even taught people that way. Then there became recently some sort of revolution against it, which is, I think, a hypersexualized church. And I think we need to move back to what is just a biblical understanding.
Yeah.
So on the hypersexualized side, I would throw, Matt, one of you and I's least favorite pastors in the world, I would throw a Mark Driscoll on that side.
Yeah.
That too much is made of this. Too much is made of romance. Too much is made of sex in a marriage. And so what we need to show our kids is what's correct. And what's correct is that mom and dad should love one another. But there are levels in which that love is displayed depending on where you're at. Mm-hmm. So there's the first level, which is out in public. Now, Matt, neither you or I are going to get legalistic on this.
Right.
But, yeah, should a married couple be willing and able to hold hands in public? Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. What should be very clear in public, so say to my young children, what I try and make very clear to them is this, that dad's love is for mom and mom only. And likewise, mom back. I'm just going to give my perspective here.
Yeah.
Mary would give these things as well. Dad's love is for mom and mom only, which means that dad will hold mom's hand. He's not holding any other woman's hand. He's not walking around having long, drawn-out conversations with just a lady.
Mm.
He's talking with his wife, and if he needs to talk to a lady, then mom will be with him. What we're not doing, on the other hand, or I should back up. What we do is if dad does have to leave mom to go do, you know, whatever he has to do, often a small kiss or whatever is appropriate if, and especially if, dad's not going to see mom again until later that evening. Mm. What is inappropriate is basically anything that is really sexual in any sort of nature.
Yep.
Because we're in public. Matt, I'll tell you, so last night, out of great love for my wife, and I know this beginning of this story sounds rather crazy. It's 10:23 and Mary wanted ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did what a husband does. I went to the store and I bought ice cream. While I was at the store, I was on the ice cream aisle. I'm looking at the little pints, I guess it is, the little ones.
I guess it is a pint. I don't know.
Yeah. Behind me are two males. It pains me to even say this. One said to the other, "Well, you're my favorite flavor of popsicle." I say that not to disgust our audience. The statement that I made to them afterwards was, that would have been inappropriate even if you were a male and a female. And I think this is where we're getting at. That's a level of inappropriateness, Matt, you would agree, is not appropriate even for a married couple like Mary and I. Right. Correct?
Yeah.
Like, there is a level in which is inappropriate, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the negative connotations here, if we don't show enough affection to one another in public, then our kids think that they should be ashamed to be in a relationship. Mm. When mom and dad seem like they don't care about one another at all to anyone, or God forbid, when mom or dad decides that they care about other people more in any sense of relationship eyes to another person, we really mess up the lines of fidelity that we need to teach. Likewise, if mom and dad are too romantic or even vulgar towards one another, as these two guys were, we then also obscure what is appropriate and decent.
Mm.
It's important to remember here that God's design for a relationship is that it is between one man and one woman. They are supposed to be loyal to one another, which creates a fidelity which we need to show our kids. But they're also supposed to be exclusive to one another, which means that we don't go air out things of the bedroom to the public.
Yep.
It means that we don't say things that are just downright disgusting to the public. But then there's a next step from that, and there's a step that kind of includes at home.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we say that, yes, more romance is allowed. However, well, there's still things that are definitely off the table. If you're sitting there on your couch together and your kids are in, it is not appropriate to, I don't know any good way to say this, to begin the child-making process. That will, I'm pretty sure, scar your children for life, Matt.
Yeah.
There's a level, and what that demonstrates to our kids, though, is that there is a level in which mom and dad love each other that you will never, ever get to enter. Mm. You will not get to enjoy that part of mom and dad's relationship, even if you are a byproduct of it.
Mm.
But we would say that if mom and dad are sitting on the couch and they give each other a kiss, even if they're not going to, you know, go off for a while, is that inappropriate? No. If mom and dad are sitting there watching a movie and they're cuddled up next to one another, is that inappropriate? No. And actually, I think what's interesting here is I think this is where, as a culture, we rebel against doing those things. Because we don't want to show our kids that. And I think what's significant here is to say, hey, look, in the proper confines of a marriage, you need to understand that mom and dad do love each other a lot. Though our love looks more mature than your teenager's love will look, it is significant to make sure that they understand that this relationship is not just built on the agreement made at our marriage. It is built on an actual sacrificial love towards one another. It's built on an admiration of one another. It is not just that we agreed to something and therefore we're sticking with it out of some sort of contractual obligation.
Mm-hmm.
But that mom actually really enjoys being around dad, and dad actually really enjoys being around mom. We like doing things together. We enjoy one another's company. And I think often this is the level where the most damage can be done. Most couples that are married couples do not struggle with being appropriate in public.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that do, talk about shame city pretty quick.
Yep.
Most couples very much struggle with understanding how to show their kids what a good marriage looks like in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the struggles are either we don't show them that we love each other in the house because honestly, we're too focused on the other things, or we show them too much. And I think what's significant here and important to make a point of at this moment is if your kids don't learn what's appropriate from you, they will learn it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're sitting there and you're watching a movie together as a family, if you refuse to show your kids what is important in a relationship, that movie will. Mm. And don't just think, oh, yeah, well, if we watch 50 Shades of Grey with our kids, then they'll learn something. First of all, don't watch 50 Shades of Grey with your kids. Yeah. But secondly, it's not just those. When you're sitting there and you're watching a Disney movie, they'll learn what relationships look like and what's important.
Mm-hmm.
When you're sitting there watching basic movies, it will come up. And the question is, are you going to let that be what teaches your kids? If you're just watching TV, you're going to learn what's important. I was sitting there the other day watching a rerun of The Big Bang Theory. It's a comedy. It's funny, whatever. Matt, I'm sure you're aware of this, but it tries to teach a lot on relationships.
Yep.
You have multiple different facets of relationships, multiple things which are, all of which are accepted, by the way. Whether it's a promiscuous lifestyle of Penny, or if it's a very, very odd relationship as Sheldon's is. They're all given this general platform of, this is all acceptable, it's all okay. It's not.
Mm.
It's not. By the way, to you, to further illustrate this point, I think one of the key things here is also making sure to take opportunity that when we watch things with our kids, we explain where there's issue.
Mm.
But even then, I'm going to throw the shamato back on us and say it's just as important for us to talk about what there is issue with from the screen as it is important for us to monitor what we ourselves are watching.
Yep.
I cannot tell you as a youth pastor how many times I have been somewhere or I have been talking to a kid and they start telling me what dad watches on TV. Hey, guess what, dad? Even if you're sitting there, let's say your theology is perfect and you're teaching your kids perfectly and you're telling them all about how you love their mom and all about how you're loyal to only her. And then I know this is a dated reference, but forgive me. I think it best illustrates my point. If then you're sitting there and you go turn on Baywatch, what are you teaching your kid?
Mm.
If then you go turn on a 50 Shades of Grey, if then you go turn on what is as close as you will find to pornographic TV, what does that teach your kid? And I think this is significant that we have to teach our kids this because it is the very grounds with which Satan is fighting now.
Yep.
I hate to be a nihilist here. We've already lost the grounds of is marriage only between a man and a woman. Society has already won that, oh, no, it can be something else. And now, of course, logically speaking, they're moving to the next statement, which is, can we add someone else to the relationship?
Hmm.
And our kids aren't accepting this because the Bible says it, and our kids aren't accepting it because they're natural. Our kids are accepting it because parents are doing this.
Hmm.
They're just doing it with a screen. I think it's significant that we have conversations with our kids. Can you joke with your spouse? Of course. But when we start saying things like, oh, well, yeah, mom really has eyes for this person, or dad really likes this actress, we let in an argument that we never want our kids to believe.
Mm.
It is incredibly significant that at all three levels, the third level here, by the way, is then the bedroom, which obviously your kids are not allowed in. And there's a level of intimacy acceptable there.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, toot-toot still doesn't include adding anyone else. Still yeah. doesn't include any use of pornography or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a separate level that your kids aren't allowed. And it's important to make sure they understand, hey, there is a level of closeness between mom and dad that you're never allowed in. Because this teaches them the building block, that foundation of, guess what? In dating, there are levels which were allowed.
Mm.
And there's levels which shouldn't be allowed. But see, because we've blurred these lines, and some even Christian marriages today now say, well, mom and dad, anything we do in private, we can do in public. No. That's actually false.
Mm.
There are things that you shouldn't do in public. There are things that should not be said, should not be done. Because we blurred those lines, or on the other side of that, where Matt and I, where we often grew up, is that we showed nothing at all ever.
Mm.
And then we were almost surprised that people got pregnant. We're like, oh, wait, you two still like each other? But because those are the extremes, and I would argue that divorce fits in that secondary extreme where now mom and dad, it's not just that they don't show love, they don't even love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Then is it shocking that our kids have no idea what the boundaries are in dating? And again, I'm not here to beat up on divorced people, but we have to find the correct middle ground, which says that the relationship between mom and dad is a mutual affection and admiration in which both are serving one another and in which both are romantic with one another in ways that are appropriate based on the surroundings.
Yeah.
If we muddy those waters, either to be too romantic or not enough, our kids fail to see what are obvious tears. And then when we try and instill those in them in their dating relationships, they literally do not know what the foundation or understanding is to move them there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, what are your thoughts? I've now I've now given my goodness.
Good job.
I've now given a mini sermon here. So you tell me, out of your vast experience of being romantic in front of your children,
absolutely,
what your thoughts are.
Yeah. So the biggest point that I've come to realize is in today's culture, there are a lot of people who are, I'm going to use big philosophical terms, they're naturalists and they're materialists, which means this world and everything that we see is it. There's nothing supernatural. There's nothing we can't see or we can't observe. It's all just natural. It's just the created realm. And there comes a point when you want to experience the height of the created realm. And that's often done in this mindset in a physical way. And Tim, let me ask you, what's the greatest physical experience you've ever had?
Matt, I think you know, but it is not appropriate to talk about in public.
Exactly. But that's just it. I mean, we have to realize if God created everything, he even created sex. And sex is something that we can do and worship the Lord. But our view of it is so tainted and it's so disgusted that we don't think of it that way. We think of it as, you know, well, we should never bring it up. And this is what leads to all of this sexual dissonance and sexual dysfunction, is because we do not properly explain, nor do we properly show what romance looks like. And there's a reason Song of Songs or Song of Solomon is in the Bible. It's because romance is something that God gave to humanity. But the problem is we don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
It's very easy for Christians to be very hush-hush about it and just go, we don't talk about it. So something that a joke my youth minister, Rex, would always say is, all right, guys, today we're going to talk about sex. And we're going to have some good discussion as we talk about sex. And he would whisper it as a joke because that's the feel of it. We don't want to talk about it. Now, obviously, there, as Tim, you said, there are boundaries that we don't ever talk about. We don't talk about what goes on, you know, behind closed doors between a husband and wife. But that doesn't mean we should never talk about how we express love in different ways, because we're not just bodies.
Yeah.
We are bodies with a spiritual being. We are body and soul, or body and spirit, however you want to say.
Well, and Matt, to a point that you often make that I think is really significant to bring out here, is that there are multiple parts, not only of Song of Songs, but multiple parts of the Bible, which if you just say, hey, like, sex, relationship doesn't matter, then you literally will not know what to do with them.
Yep.
With the exception of, you'll make the fallacious application that somehow Jesus Christ's love for the church is sexual in nature, which is massively wrong.
Yep.
So we're left to ask the question. I think Matt, actually, the one of the greatest evidences for the argument that you and I have just espoused is the understanding that there are parts of Scripture which are not meant to be allegorical to Christ, but are about the love between a man and a wife. And you have to ask yourself, then why? If it's not about Jesus and the church, then why would it be included? And the reason is because it's really important that you do your marriage correctly.
It's almost like 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, where in the world would a place be that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness? Oh, yeah, the Bible.
Yeah.
And let me just say this. When it comes to playfulness and when it comes to all of this, I'm going to say something. It might be a bit controversial, but just hear me out. Husbands, if your wife says no, stop. Because you might be playful and it might be fun and you're just having fun with your wife in that moment. But it's very important that you show what boundaries look like. And though it might be teasing and though it might be playful, if your wife says no or stop it, leave it. You can still have fun in different ways and you can still be teasing, but what does that show? That shows your kids, hey, if there's a moment where I feel uncomfortable and or if someone feels uncomfortable and they say no, I should stop.
Yeah.
I shouldn't go any farther.
Yep.
Because when what you show is when your kids, if they get older and there comes a moment where you're feeling it, but your spouse isn't feeling it, what does that mean? Does that mean you just go and fulfill your desires? No, you don't.
Yep.
It's important because that is not the purpose. We look at Ephesians 5, and we're just going to read two little parts. Verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Then verse 25, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Both of these verses show that you and your relationship with your spouse is for them and not for yourself. That is biblical. You do not get married to fulfill your desires. You get married because you love someone so much, you are willing to sacrifice anything for them.
Yep.
That is marriage. And why is that? Because Paul pointed to the cross. We husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. How did he do that? He died.
Yep.
That is biblical love. It is not to, you know, fulfill these sexual desires you have, though, you know, as scientific as they may be, it's not the point of marriage. The point of marriage is you love someone, you love your husbands, you love your wife, you love your husband so much that you were willing to give anything. And that is what it is. It is two people giving themselves to each other.
Yeah.
It is not a one-sided affair. It is also not a time when we come together, we just fulfill desires, and then we live life as if nothing else matters. It's wrong. And so it comes to a point where in these things that we show our kids, we're not overly sexual in our speech. We're also not, we don't talk about it at all. You talk about it in a way that pleases and glorifies the Lord, that says, hey, yeah, this is what a husband and wife does. Why? This is what scripture says. This is why it says we do this. You know, we don't have sex just to procreate. We do it because we want to enjoy each other in a way that can only be experienced in this way.
And I think it's important too to remember here as well that, you know, as they grow, you're going to talk to your kids more about these things, mm-hmm, obviously. But at the very base level, all other versions of love, and by versions of love, I mean the love towards a sibling, love towards, you know, fellow people, any of these other style relationships all base themselves off of your relationship with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids will be more able to understand the love of God to them if you love your spouse well.
Yep.
Your kids will be more able to interact well with others, not even that they love, just others, if you love your spouse well.
Mm-hmm.
When we choose to pervert, either positively, meaning that we are perverting it into it being inappropriate, I should say, or negatively, meaning that we are perverting it into a lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
When we go either direction, our kids suffer because they fail to understand how to interact with their fellow person.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes more difficult for them to understand how they should interact with God. It's not that it's impossible. Yep. Matt, you have a fantastic relationship with God, yet you are a kid who grew up in a household that there was divorce.
Mm-hmm.
but it impacts how you understand God. Matt, you've said on the podcast numerous times and said to me numerous times, talked about, you know, conversation you had with your dad where he said that he no longer loved your mom.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes then very difficult to say, okay, well, God's my father. So I'm sure the question came up at least once in your mind. Does that mean that God could stop loving me?
Hmm.
This is not bash on Matt's dad day.
Hmm.
But this is to say that it is a logical question that a kid would ask in that situation. And kids will logically ask things based on your marriage of God. They will ask questions of God based on how you love. And so it's as significant that we love correctly.
Yep. And I still have a wonderful relationship with my dad.
Yes, yes.
He was at my ordination, everything. And my parents don't hate each other.
No.
My mom just doesn't want to be in the same room as my dad anymore for obvious reasons. Yep. But
fair.
But yeah, no, it's something that we have to cultivate. And before we cultivate a good relationship with our spouse, we have to cultivate a good relationship with our Heavenly Father. We cannot neglect God just so we can have a better marriage. The fact is, if the more you love the Lord, the more you love people around you, which also means the more you love your spouse. It's something that we cannot separate the two. I'll say this quickly and then it'll be my last thought. The way God loves us is something that cannot be fully replicated. But we can sure try to show what sacrificial biblical love looks like. And that means sometimes, I mean, what is that passage where Paul says, you know, do not withhold one another from relations unless it's for prayer for a time. Like, sometimes you need to step away from even your spouse for a moment just so you can get a deeper relationship with the Lord. But then Paul says, but don't stay away too long. Come back so that the devil doesn't lead you into temptation. It's important that the marriage relationship is something that is incredible and it's so different, but it's still fueled by a love for the Lord. And the moment you take God out of your marriage, the moment you invite literally anything else into it, because God is just that powerful to preserve and to protect you in those moments. So do not neglect your time with the Lord. Do not neglect your relationship with the Lord, but use that as a way to also show, hey, I love my wife. This is how I love my husband, because this is a way I worship the Lord. Yes, you having a good marriage is a way you worship the Lord. Yes, you having a good relationship with your coworkers is a way you worship the Lord. Yes, the way you turn away from evil things on television and just go, actually, you know what, kids, we're not going to watch this. That is a way you worship the Lord, because you are placing Him on a pedestal above everything else. And that also applies to how you love your spouse. You love God first. You love your spouse second. You love your kids third. And then whatever comes after, you know, in fourth place is completely up to you. But that is the correct way we love. So do not neglect your love for the Lord and your marriage. Tim, do you have any quick final thoughts?
No, I think that's about it. Yeah.
Right. Correctly. Well, thank you so much for listening. Be careful for flying driver heads out there on driving ranges. Make sure you take good care of your golf clubs. And no matter what happens, always find a way to worship the Lord in whatever you do. So thank you so much for listening to Tuning the Bow, and we will see y'all in the next one. Bye, everybody.